We're blessed today to have Brother Tim Martin with us, missionary worker with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. He was not in our region. Brother Mike Kelly was in our region for years. We went out to prison with him in revival meetings. You cover Jackson County, one of them, don't you? You go over that way. And so he's a hard worker. We've known him, oh my goodness, long time, you know. I've been here 19 years, and it probably wasn't too long after that I met you and Brother Mike Kelly. But we appreciate him because he's a faithful and a hard worker, and I appreciate anybody that gives the Lord their all. Amen. He's got a family nearby grown. He's got one 14-year-old, I believe, still at the house. Got one, finished his first year of college, 4.0 average, if you don't mind. Scholarships, amen, amen, I tell you. God's people's got some smart people. Amen. He's running out of dummy, so he had to press it. Amen. But we love him, we're proud of him, and we appreciate his work. I'll never forget this as long as I live, which may not be too much longer. He's the only man I know that I saw thrown out of prison. They came out, me and Brother Ike, to prison one night to be a part of the service there. And they let them in fine. You know, they had pen numbers just like we did. Sat down in the back there, and about time me to get up and preach. They came came in, got him, said, "You got to get out of here." So they had to leave. But he left the same way he came in, with a grin on his face. He's always got a grin. So I appreciate him. I do. That was so funny. I won't never forget it. Amen. But he's faithful. Amen. And he's faithful to come be with us when he can. And so he contacted me a while back and told me some dates that he had still had free. Several of them. And before I could even pick one of them was already full. So I went ahead and picked June the 5th today. And so Brother Tim, we're so glad to have you with us. We appreciate you. We love you. And we thank you for taking time out to come be with us. We always look forward to your preaching and your fellowship. We always have a good time. You know, people think Christians are bored people. You know, I've had a good time ever since I've been saved. I really have. Amen. I've had some battles too, but I've had battles in life also. But I've had a good time since God saved me. Amen. And I still have a good time with God's people. Amen. And I'm always glad to be in the house of the Lord with God's people. Helps keep me out of trouble, and so I appreciate that. I sure do. Brother Tim, you come on, and you share your work with us. You share your heart with us. You share the word with us. Now, we're having dinner after church. Don't go anywhere. You say, "Well, I didn't bring anything." Hey, believe me, you don't have to worry about that. We'll be having to tote it out of here when we leave. After we eat, so please don't even think about that. Please stay. My sister had an expression about having an abundance to eat, but I'm not going to use it because I'm not sure who she's talking about. I have to be careful what words I use today, brother, because the English language has changed since I was a young man, and I'll get myself in trouble. Amen. But we got plenty. Please don't run off. Stay, even if you can only stay a few minutes. Eat a bite. Fellowship with us. Let's enjoy this day that God has given us. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And if there's some vittles, I'll eat in it too. And that's what we're going to do. Come on, Brother Tim. You got your mic?
Yes, brother.
All right, brother. Love you. You share whatever God's got on your heart as far as love you.
Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Zechariah chapter 6. If you want to go ahead and find your place there, just find the book of Matthew and back up two books. Amen. Make it real easy. I know sometimes you get over in those prophets. And I talk about Mike Kelly. I remember one time Brother Kelly, he said, the preacher said, turn the book of Jonah. And he said, "I was trying to find Jonah." He said, "But he run off again." He said, "I couldn't find him." Amen. But appreciate the Lord. And appreciate the blessing to be here with y'all today.
Yeah.
and being a part of y'all's mission outreach. We're laborers together with Christ. Amen. As we are able to go and serve, it's only because of God's people that pray for us and enable us to be able to go and carry the gospel of those in the prisons. And do appreciate the goodness of the Lord. And you talking about the language, of course, everything nowadays is just abbreviations and texts and symbols. And I remember when I first got a smartphone, my daughter was texting me that LOL, and then I'd text her back and say, I love you too. You know, I didn't know that LOL means laugh out loud on the team. So she always say LOL, and I said, well, I love you too. And so you learn all these things, amen. Oh, yeah. But I tell you, we're living in a different day and hour. But I'm glad our family's out of this world. I do love God's people. Appreciate the work of the Lord. We, of course, I know y'all read our letters and pray for us. And of course, when COVID hit, the brakes went on with Rock Prison Ministry for sure. You know, when you're dealing with the state and facilities and sicknesses and all the political things, all these things, you know, we don't want to dwell much there today with it. But of course, as you read our letters, maybe some here visiting, as we labor with the Rock of Ages, we, I guess, probably been knowing you maybe at least 12, 15 years, I'm thinking, brother, been a while. But this church has been a blessing to help us. But I appreciate how y'all have always labored in the prisons. I know the work camp had shut down there in Holmes, and I've been trying to get with the chaplain right down the road here at Holmes Correctional, but hadn't really got you know, connected. I've talked with him, sent emails, but just as far as getting connection to get that meeting, it seems some walls or barriers there, but God will break those down in His time if it's His will. But we are in 16 of the prisons here in the Panhandle currently. I know when COVID hit for about 2 months, we was at the house and things weren't happening. I thought I was done with prison ministry. You know, I guess at that time, what, almost going heading towards 16 years that in 2020. And I tell you, when you've been doing all you've been doing, and things you can't do what God's called you to do, there's a lot of things that go through your heart and mind. But as you read our letters, God was faithful. We was able to start mainly get in some different churches, did some revival meetings and things, and missions work there, and different updates that we went around to some churches we hadn't been to in a long time. But one thing we did, as you read our letters, we hit the streets doing the homeless outreach. And of course, as you read our letters, we were able to do within a year. When we weren't getting in prisons, we were doing what's called backpacking Bible. We'd get together about a $20 backpack, maybe with mainly waters and sock, toboggan, but never give them money. But we'd always put a Rock of Ages, King James, New Testament in there. And now we didn't try to target a lot of your professionals. And every once in a while, you're gonna get what you say burnt, I guess, amen. But we try to actually find a lot of those who are actually living in the woods, and you know, that's, you know, and I know a lot of them are drugs and things, but the Lord just called us to love sinners, amen. But and as we did that, and you read our letters, we actually were able to cover 17 cities, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, mainly, in 300 backpacks, amen, one-on-one witnessing. Of course, we actually went back and did a three-day revival over in Panama City, because we gave out 40-some backpacks in one day over there. They were just everywhere. A few months later, we went back and we set up two big old portable Bose speakers. Went, and instead of going to cell, we couldn't get in prison that week, so we went tent to tent. And they had about 40 of them in two areas there. Had a wooded area and had a bridge area. But we just preached every evening, and then we fed them a meal after the preaching. And we had a real big meeting there. I mean, we had about 13 in service. Amen. And I had one laying on a bed, a couple in broken chairs, one talking to himself, another one mad because of the. But we just preached the Word of God. And we was at, actually by a park under an overpass, and they were going by like crazy. So we had thousands in service because they were driving by, you know. But we had a guy come out of the neighborhood, walked across that field, and he stood in the back and stared at me as I was preaching one evening. He walked up to me, and I didn't know what he was going to say. He looked mad, but he started grinning. He said, we need this all over America, amen. And so I don't know, maybe God, we are back in the prisons. We kind of slowed back from the homeless, just the doors that have opened back in the prisons. We're thankful. You know, this week we did a character construction seminar over at the Gaston Reentry. We had Jackson, see, I actually canceled the latter part of the week, but maybe we'll get there the next time. But we had a great time at the Reentry. We're actually going back there in a week and doing revival with those men. They're basically 5 years and less, and they're getting out of prison. I better get me a clock up here, amen. And do y'all like Pharaoh, you know? But I got some food over there, amen. But Pharaoh wouldn't let God's people go. But just hang in there like old Jim Davis. I think y'all might support him. He's been here. He always says, hang in there like a hare in a biscuit. Amen. It won't be long. We'll get over to the good food and fellowship. But we had a good meeting at the Gaston Reentry. We basically dealt with lessons of struggle within the mind, the old friends. And at the end, we give the guys a certificate. We was doing that basically in the evening. And but just had a good time with the men over there, and we're looking forward to going back and the preaching. Think about the homeless ministry. I'll tell you this real quick. He actually texted me again last night, and I can't say that I've seen somebody saved and, you know, off the streets personally that I dealt with in the homeless ministry. A lot of times in ministries, you get sow the word of God. God don't let you see a lot of things. You might get to thinking you're doing something. Amen. But God gets all the glory if anything happens, if a sinner comes to Christ. It's all the Lord's glory. But I do have a blessing. There was a few months ago, we actually, some of the prisons Brother Kelly did, we've got back into Santa Rosa Correctional, and we actually, as you probably, I know you've read our letters, but we got into Liberty Correctional, 4-day meeting we got over there, and those prisons we've actually got where they're allowing us to go back and visit, that we used to, you know, do a lot more visiting than we've been allowed, but since COVID, some of the prisons have opened the doors more, and I tell you, we got Liberty, we went into 4 units, witnessing. And I'm talking about where they sleep, the lockdown, everything. And a lot of places have regulated that because of low staffing and issues. But we're thankful, amen. And we went to Santa Rosa, and we got into 4 units over there. 2 just walk around, setting the tables, talking with men right where they live. And then on the, I think it was the annex side there, the main unit, if I remember right, that's the first time I've been there, but that was like 600-man lockdown there. And so we was able to have two days of going to the cell to cell. And we could take a dozen men in there. But we was over in the area. There's a guy, and he was actually living homeless in Arizona. And this guy, he was basically hooked on meth and just tired of the lifestyle. His life, he was just a thief. I mean, he even contacted our ministry. He said, when you see me, he said, I'm covered from head to toe with tattoos. And he said, I try to hide what I can, but it's my past. He said, I was a thief, a meth addict. But he said, I got sick of that life. And he was homeless, living in his van with his boys. His wife did not want to leave the lifestyle and just terrible situation. But anyways, he was parked outside of a church, sleeping in his van, and the preacher come by and got to talking with him and seen the need. And that pastor of that church in Arizona befriended this guy. He started coming to church. He'd give him a little work to do. Long story, he got saved. And he moved from Arizona to Pensacola, and he's helping build that Baptist hospital, working construction across from the college. And during the day, he's actually taking Bible classes now over at Pensacola. And he contacted Rock of Ages. He said, I just want to see if I can just be a witness and help going to prison. And so right now, he's actually going through all the steps to get cleared to go into prison with us. Amen. And just a blessing that here was a man homeless with his boy. Actually, I met him in a tent meeting. He came over to the tent meeting. The guy's just all fired up, excited, wanting to tell people about the Lord. Amen. God brought him out of a rough life. Amen. I'm glad God's still changing the life of sinners. Amen. God's not dead. God's work's not done, or we'd be gone. Amen. And we just need to occupy till He's come. And I tell you, just stay full of the Word of God. Stay full of those good devotions. Amen. I like Oswald Chambers myself. Amen. Don't say nothing bad about him. I got a thick book, sister. I mean, his if you know a little bit of history. As he traveled around, he battled some sickness and things, but his wife actually penned a lot of his sayings down for him in a book that I have. I mean, tremendous thoughts and different things. Just a blessing, amen. But appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Appreciate your prayers. Pray for us as we go in the prisons. And I tell you this, don't worry. I'm going to get in Zechariah, amen. He's right there waiting. But that night we got thrown out. We wasn't on the list, but we just got in with them in the prison. But I remember that the white shirt. I don't know, he might have been a lieutenant or so, or you know. But he come in and we were sitting in the back, and he did tell us there. He said he went like this at first. So we just got up and he took us out, and he said, "Y'all ain't on the list to come in tonight." And I said, "Well, we go into prisons all over. We got pin numbers. We're the Rock of Ages. We go all over." And I said, "They go in weekly, and you know, we're friends with their church and stuff." And he said, "Well, that's real nice." He said, "But you're not on the list to come in tonight. Your name ain't on this list." And he said, "I can get in trouble for letting you in here tonight." I said, "Well, if you open that door and that gate, I'll be over at McDonald's eating me an ice cream." He said, "Goodbye." I said, "Goodbye. Amen." And we just left it right there. Amen. Don't want nobody to get in trouble. But that was an exciting time. Amen. First time thrown out of prison. Amen. But I've had a few inmates get mad, and they wanted to throw me out. Amen. I had one guy get so mad one time, and the next day at Chow Line, he was coming out, and I was standing out there at the center gate handing out tracts, and he was coming by me, and he stopped right in front of me. He said, "I'd like to put you in that." At that time, I think that brown outfit, some of the officers, he said, "I'd like to put you in that outfit right there, in that uniform. I'd show you something." I said, "I don't think you would." He said, "Why is that?" I said, "I'm meaner than that guy right there." He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "I'm the preacher." That guy just kind of looked at me funny. I looked at him funny, and he grinned. Amen. I don't know what, but the Lord used it. And every time I seen him after that, he just kind of waved at me. Amen. But I don't think he still liked me much. But amen. But I tell you, my wife said, "One of these days, I'm going to get that call that they got you in the hospital. You'll come home with a crooked nose or this or that." Amen. But I tell you, not all of them in there love Jesus. I tell you, they weren't just walking down the road and said, "Hey, y'all got a bed over there," you know. But I do appreciate seeing how the Lord can change hearts and change lives. And but Zechariah chapter 6 here I go going on. I ain't talked to y'all in a little while, so it takes a minute to say hi and thank you and amen. But I appreciate y'all praying for us and the goodness of the Lord. We love God's people. We love the work of the Lord. Now we'll look here in Zechariah and try to give what the Lord put on our heart for this morning. Nothing new under the sun, and I'm always scared of these guys coming up with something new. But and I know there's going to be more in this chapter that I can bring out. Amen. Maybe Brother Murphy will straighten me out later and help me with some good nuggets, and then I'll go preach it down the road, and they'll think I know something. Amen. But in Zechariah chapter 6, this is the last vision that Zechariah had in these night visions, as the Lord was showing him some things to come. And as we begin reading in verse 1, the Bible said, "And I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains. And the mountains were mountains of brass. In the first chariot were red horses, and the second chariot black horses. And in the third chariot white horses, and the fourth chariot gristled and bay horses. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, 'What are these, my Lord?' And the angel answered and said unto me, 'These are the four spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. The black horses which are therein go forth into the north country, and the white go forth after them, and the gristle go forth toward the south country.' And the bay went forth and sought to go, that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, 'Get you hence, walk to and fro through the earth.' So they walked to and fro through the earth. Then cried he upon me and spake unto me, saying, 'Behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country.' And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, 'Take of them of the captivity of Heldiah and Tobiah and Jedidiah, which are come from Babylon, and come thou the same day and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Then take silver and gold and make crowns and set them up on the head of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. And the crown shall be to Halim, and to Baiah, and to Jedidiah, and to him, the son of Zephaniah, for memorial in the temple of the Lord. And they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass, if ye will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God." And of course, not too lengthy of a reading there. At least I didn't pick Psalms 119 this morning. Amen. But as you look in this chapter here in these night visions, you might have caught it as we read. There was a word that's mentioned three times in this chapter. As we look back again quickly here in verse 1, it says, "I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked," and notice, behold. "There came four chariots out from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of brass." And again, that word again in verse 8. He said, "Then cried he upon me and spake unto me, saying, Behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit." And that's talking about God's anger in the north country. And then you get on down to verse 12. He says, "And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." There's that word behold again. And a good preacher, a friend of mine, he always said, when you read books, but when you study, study words. And that's why it's so important just to stick with that old good King James Bible. Amen. A lot of these new modern day diversions, I say, because they're taking words out. And when you take words out, you take the power of God out. Amen. And you hinder faith in the life of the Christian. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you want to debate that with me, just talk to me tomorrow morning. Amen. And when I get about 6 hours out of the road. Amen. But as I look here, this word behold, I was looking at the picture graph of studying that word. And in the picture graph, when breaking down the meaning of the word behold, you'd see kind of like, you know, a little stick figure. Like when you play hangman, you got a little circle head, little stick arms and legs and stick body. And in the picture graph there, means when you see that, it means something of interest. As you look at that word, behold, something of interest. And also in the picture graph, had like a little dot with a little squiggly line beside that little stick figure man. And it means looking continually. So when you think about the word behold, it means to look at something of interest continually. And so I believe as God put that word in here three times, I believe as you look in this chapter, there's kind of three sections there that God's saying you need to look at this continually with interest. Amen? So we want to lift up our eyes today and look is what I want to preach. Lift up your eyes and look. Amen? And you're going to have some interest in your own heart if you're going to see these things. And I tell you, we need to look, amen? And I know this world tries to get us looking everywhere instead of looking unto the Lord, amen? Matter of fact, the Bible said, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finish of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Matter of fact, I was studying last night and this morning, and I won't go there as far as really, I guess, dealing with this, but I thought about who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And I was reading one writer, and he was talking about, you know, why did Jesus die on the cross? He died for the Father, amen? I know he died for us, don't get me wrong, but as you look in, if you don't have to turn, but Acts chapter 2, verse 23, it says, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." I know the Romans crucified him, and we crucified him. My sins crucified him, amen? But bottom line, he was coming to die for the sins of the world to please the holiness of God, amen? And I don't comprehend it all, but I tell you, before God made anything, God the Father and God the Son got together, and they made a plan to redeem mankind in the foreknowledge of God. Amen. See, God knows the end from the beginning. Amen. And you say, well, who has He chosen to go to heaven? Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And I tell you, we need to look to the Lord. Amen. We need to lift up our eyes and look to the Lord. And as I get to look in this chapter, as I see these beholds, I got to look in the first behold, as you get to looking at it, it says, "Behold, there were four chariots out from between two mountains. Now, I believe you'll study those two mountains. He's talking about Mount Zion and Mount Sinai. The Mount of Olives, excuse me. Mount Zion and the Mount of Olives. And if you look on the map, they're not that far apart, amen? As far as mileage-wise there, kilometers. And in between those mountains, you'll find the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Matter of fact, that valley where the Lord, one day, He's going to step on the Mount of Olives. It's going to split, and I'm talking about the blood's going to run to the horse's bridle. And I'm talking about there'll be many slain one day when the Lord comes back at the end of the tribulation period. And as I get to look in here, and you think about as you picture between the area of these mountains, and if you get to looking to the west, you'd find the Mediterranean Sea. To the east, the Arabian Desert. So all you had is that the north and the south region there. And I know as you look and study the text here, this is dealing with God, how He was going to deal Babylon. But also prophetically, it's showing the future how God's going to deal with all nations that come against Israel. Amen? Matter of fact, you know, as you study in the Word of God and over in Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "Thus saith the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set it in the midst of the nations, countries that are round about her." You realize Israel is God's belly button of the globe, amen? God, Israel is God's centerpiece. Two-thirds of the Bible is dealing with a Jew. We've been grafted in, amen? We're part of the church age. I mean, we're part of not just Jew and Gentile. We're all one in Christ, amen? We're His body. It's right. Jesus is coming, amen? And as I get to looking, and I think we need to lift up our eyes and look. As I look here in the text, it's talking about these chariots. It's talking about these mountains. And as I thought about mountains in the Bible, and of course, here's some good preaching, brother. You can do a series. I thought about mountains. They're a place of sacrifice. You know, you can go over there and you'll study that region. I tell you, all the way back into Genesis, and you'll find in some of those mountains, it was just a place of sacrifice. It was a place of sacrifice of prayer, amen? It was a place of willing sacrifice. You think about how Abraham, as you think about those mountains, he went up in the mount with his only son Isaac, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So as you think about mountains, they're a place of sacrifice. I was studying, mountains are a symbol of authority. They're a symbol of stability, amen, when you think about these mountains. You get to look in the Bible, you got to watch, don't spiritualize the Bible. I know it's a spiritual book, it's God's book, amen? But spiritualizing will get you believing whatever you feel, what you think. But we can take the symbols and we can take the just the words of what it thus saith the Lord, and we can find a lot of good truth, amen? And what we don't find, leave it alone. Amen. Huh? Praise God. But because then you'll be running by feel instead of faith. And as I get to looking though, man, for facts, those mountains sacrifice. And as I look at those mountains, were also a place of safety in those regions at times. I thought about how Lot, God dealt in the heart of Lot. And of course, Lot, man, he got out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he did find a place of safety in the mountains, you know. And I know Lot, if it weren't for the Bible telling us that he was a righteous man, we would have said he was a lost man. Amen. What me and the one brother was talking before church. Amen. I tell you, that's the way a lot of people you see now, they say they're saved, but if they're saved, only the Lord knows it. Amen. Because their life sure don't show it. Amen. And I think your life ought to show it. James said, "Show me your faith by your works." He said, "I'll show you my faith. Show me your faith by your works. I'll show you my faith by my works." He said, "I got a faith that works." Amen. It'll change. I still believe no change, no salvation. Amen. I tell you, old Scroggie, that old writer, he said, "No fruit, no root." He said, "But if you got the right root, you're going to have some right fruit." Amen. And I'm glad that we can have fruit. As I get to look in the place of safety in the mountains, it's a place of service in the mountains. You can go study Moses, how he served God. Exodus 3 and 4, God was molding a man to lead His people out of Israel. Amen. Egypt being a picture of the world. I'm glad Moses, he had his failures, but there's another man, the Lord Jesus, that brought us out of Egypt, that brought us out of the world. Amen. I tell you, we look around this old world and you'll get depressed, you'll get discouraged. Amen. There's folks, I tell you, through COVID, you know what? Our faith should be stronger in the Lord. Amen. But sad to say, some people, their faith has gotten weaker. You know, it's like one writer said, the Bible tells us to take up our cross and follow Him. I was reading about one story. It was kind of figurative speaking, and it's about this pilgrim. He's on a journey and he's carrying his cross, but he said, this cross is just too heavy. And so he found someone, and as he laid his cross down, and he said, I just can't carry it anymore. And the guy that he'd come across on this path, his journey, he said, well, let's just cut some of the cross off. Let's take some of the weight off. So they went over and they sawed and they took some of the weight, and he picked it. He said, oh, it's easy now. And he journeyed on. Amen. He said, boy, I can carry this easy load. But as he got way down the journey, he come to a crossing that was supposed to enter into the promised land. And there was a big ravine and the river was raging. And he thought, boy, I'll get across easy. I'll just lay my cross down. And he laid his cross across there, but it wasn't long enough. It was too short. He had left some back down the road. And so he couldn't make it. And I know we're not trying to work our way into heaven. Amen. There's one cross that takes us to heaven, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But it seems like we want an easy way to heaven a lot of times. Jesus said, take up your cross. Amen. What it means, a lot of times we don't want burdens. We don't want sorrows. We don't want trials. Hey, but it's going to be in this old world. Amen. And you know what they do? Sorrows and burdens and trials, it helps us to be a greater witness for the Lord. Amen. I reminded it, and this ain't in the notes. I just preach, and then when we're done, we'll go eat. Amen. But John Bishop. Y'all ever heard that old preacher, John Bishop? He had cerebral palsy, and boy, he talked like this, you know, and man, his this ate up with pain. But he got up one time, and you probably heard him before, and if you hadn't, you know, Google or YouTube, I don't even know if he's alive. But I just remember he had cerebral palsy and his health was so bad and just pain. But he said, he said, I'm so sick and I feel so bad. He said, God's so good to me. God's so good. Amen. You know, a lot of times I tell you, sometimes God let things happen so we just get our eyes off comfort and get our eyes on the counselor and His grace. And I'm just saying this more, lift up our eyes. If you don't lift up your eyes, I'll tell you why you need to lift up your eyes, because you need to behold the mountains. As I got to looking, and I see these horses and these chariots, and they're symbols, they're pictures. I got to looking, and it talks about brass here in verse 1. Brass is a picture of judgment. And God is showing He's going to send judgment into those mountains, into those regions. And I know you'll study, and there was a number of years later, the Persians come in, and they took over Babylon. They cleaned house, amen. But ultimately, one day, God's going to clean house in those mountains. We're seeing it right now. And I don't know, you might have been dealing with it here. I don't know, brother. But we see Russia and these things and all these people, nations moving. And I'm no date setter. I have a non-profit ministry, amen. I'm just a preacher, amen. I ain't no prophet. But I tell you one thing. You see Russia, and I heard my former pastor, Brother Sammy Allen, he'd always say for years, God's going to put the hook in the jaws of Russia and that big old bear's going to be on the move. Hey, you say, what could that hook be? I've heard it for years. It's going to be oil. It's going to be this. Hey, you know what? It's going to be something. But one thing I've noticed, I heard the other week, I say the other day, you know, but the other week, you know, right now, Putin, he wants countries to pay him with gold. That's what he wants, to be paid with gold. And you know that they found recently, very recently, they found gold in some of the mountains of Israel they didn't even know they had. I'm talking about millions of dollars in gold. Amen. I was reading my Bible just last week there in Genesis, I think chapter 2. And it talks about how the gold of that land is good. Go check it out, Genesis 2. And I know that was before the flood, before the land shifts and different things. So if you'll look back in that time, that was right there around a little north of Yemen and in southern Saudi Arabia. Hey, I'm talking about even God blessed Ishmael, amen. Hey, there's going to be something that draws them and says, hey, we need these resources. We need to get on the move, amen. And we're seeing things moving so fast in our day now. We may have 5 more days. We may have 5 more minutes. We may have 50 more years. I don't know. But we need to realize and behold the mountains. Judgment is coming, friend. Hey, we better lift up our eyes. As you see these symbols, brass is a picture. Even as Jesus was lifted up, even as Moses lifted that serpent in the wilderness, what was that serpent made of? It was made of brass. That was a picture. picture of Jesus. He took our judgment on the cross of Calvary. I got to look in Proverbs 21:31. It said the horse is prepared against the day of battle. So we start seeing these symbols, and we got to back up in our Bible and see first mention and go through and see what is it all building up. What are these symbols meaning? As I got to studying about these horses, it said the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. You better lift up your eyes and really know that you know the Lord. Amen? Why? Because horses show battle. They're a symbol. God's fixing to deal with people. Amen? And judgment. And we see even in Jeremiah 46:9-10, he said, "Come up, ye horses." God said that. He said, "Rage, ye chariots, and let the mighty men come forth, the Ethiopians and the Libyans that handle the shield, and the Libyans that handle and bend the bow. For this is the day of the Lord of hosts, a day of vengeance." That day is going to take place at the rapture, amen? There's different aspects of that day, but that day initiates when we're snatched out of here, friend, amen? And you better lift up your eyes, and you see these horses and chariots. Matter of fact, in Nahum, if I can get over there in Nahum real quick. Nahum chapter 3 and verse 1, he said, "Woe to the bloody city, it is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not, the noise of a whip, and the noise of the rattling of wheels, and the prancing of horses, and the jumping of chariots." Go back and study some of these scriptures, amen. It shows that judgment is coming, amen. Y'all forgive me, I had to put some notes. I remember one time, Brother Ike, years ago, he got me up to testify, and then he had me keep preaching, and we got over to eat, and he said, and I said, "Well, brother, I'm sorry, you tricked me today. You got me up there, and I didn't have my notes." He told me, "I just want to see if you can preach without them notes." Amen. I'll never forget that. Amen. But then I told him, I said, like one preacher, you know, I don't even know if I told Ike this, but I told some. I said, "I can't help. The Lord tells me more than He tells you, and I can't remember it all, so I got to write it down." Amen. But I don't think I told that to Brother Ike. Amen. And I knew a little bit better. I'm dumb. I ain't plumb dumb. Amen. But as you get to looking, all these scriptures, and you can go and study Isaiah chapter 2 and Psalms chapter 2 and especially Revelation chapter 6. You'll see the similarity of those horses. Amen. And don't try to get confused because you say, "Well, don't look the same order in Revelation 6 as it does over here." But it didn't say order. It just said where they're going, what they're doing. Amen. And you go to Revelation. Amen. We see bloodshed. We see the red horse, the black horse, amen. We see death. We see death and hell coming with the black horse, you know. What is death? There could be sickness and pestilence all around the world. People dying and hell taking hold of the soul. Yes. That's why you better know the Lord, amen. Huh? Because when you die, hell's going to take hold of your soul. You're going out to eternity without God if you ain't saved, amen. This book hadn't changed, amen. We need to just behold this morning as we see these mountains and as I thought about it, it shows a picture of judgment. And matter of fact, we see these four chariots and these four horses and things going. I got to study, and four is the number of judicial power and judgment to carry out God's purposes. Psalms 148:8 and Jeremiah 29, all these different things, and you'll study it out, amen. As I get to looking, as I thought about behold the mountains this morning, but then quickly I thought about behold the ministers. You say, what are these horses and these chariots? Well, the Bible kind of tells us right here in the text.
Yeah.
It says in verse 5, "And the angel answered and said to me, these are the four spirits of the heavens." So then you go back in Psalms 104:4, it says, "Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." You go to Revelation, man, them angels are telling them, say, behold, look, amen. God, through the scriptures, He uses who He chooses, amen. In the Old Testament, He used prophets to minister the Word of God, amen. Now, we don't need no prophets nowadays, amen. Why? Because Jesus, He fulfilled the prophetic ministry, amen. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Notice He said spoken. He didn't say He's still speaking, amen. And I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit that deals with us daily, but I'm talking about we're looking for no new revelation, amen. We have all the revelation we need in God's Word. Amen. God's canon. 66 books chock full of God. Amen. But I thought about, we need to behold the ministers that God is talking about. Why? Because God's using these ministers to appease His wrath and His judgment. Amen. What is God doing right now in the church age? He's using preachers, amen? Why? To warn people. To warn people to flee from the wrath to come. To lift up your eyes and to look with diligence. Look continually and behold, there is a judgment coming, amen? This old world's gonna see things it ain't never experienced. You imagine that tribulation period? I'm talking about even before the third horse, about three quarters of the world's, or about half of the world's already died off, amen, in Revelation 6. I mean, this is a serious thing, amen. But behold the ministers. And I thought about, I thank God for ministers, amen. Thank God for those that would share the Word of God with me. You know, Paul, he'd go and preach and they'd get so mad at him, they'd lock him up, amen. And he said, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Paul was just broken for the souls of men. He come into Philippi, man, he met a lady over there having a prayer meeting. Talk, man, he just give them the Word of God. He was looking for somebody. You know, you ever thought about Paul and his ministry? When he'd go into areas, he would always just try to find somebody that had a little bit of a hunger for God. But they didn't really know. They just knew they had something missing. Amen. You know what? If you'll go throughout your town, throughout wherever your job is, maybe not everybody wants to listen to you as you try to minister to them the Word of God. Amen. I'm not talking about everybody's a preacher, but everybody's got the right message if we're saved. Amen. And we can go and tell people about the Lord and the goodness of God. And maybe they don't want to hear it, but you just go to the next one. I remember I was in Mississippi one time years ago. Parchment, Mississippi. Man, that used to be some of the roughest of the roughest. And I remember I was actually just joined Rock of Ages. I think I was 30 years old back, you know, that trip, you know. And I remember we was way down there in what they call the hole, the lockdown, where they come out like 1 hour a day, I think it is, or every other day, and they go into a single man cage. You know, that's all they had. But I remember I was going down the walk. And man, I come by a cell and that guy, he just chewed me out and told me to go on, and he told me things I'd never repeat. Amen. But I went away from his cell and I got way down the walk and all of a sudden he was yelling, come here, you know. And I walked all the way back down there and he's an older gentleman, you know, been locked up for years and no hope ever get. But his cell just rough, you know. And I never forget, he looked at me and he says, "You're a young man." And I said, and I think I said, "Oh, I'm 30, you know." And he said, "Man, I ain't never had a young man come by myself." He said, "It's usually a bunch of these old church people, they come in here and they done lived wicked their whole life, and now they got right with God and they're up older age, and they want to come by and tell me to get right with God." He said, "But you're a young man trying to live for God." I said, "Well, I fell, but I'm just old sinner Satan." I was talking to him. I can't remember everything, been so long. But I said, "Well, would you like some gospel literature?" I thought, man, he's going. He said, "I don't want to know that. I just thought it was interesting you was young, come by myself." He said, "I never seen a young guy come by here that cared about me." I said, "Well, I do, man. I drove all the way in Jordan. I was trying." He said, "Ah, I don't want to." And he didn't want nothing. But I looked in his cell and I said, "Man, you ain't got nothing much to look at here. You don't come out, was it an hour a day and stuff?" I said, and then in my trade, we had one of these books of our literature. We give out all kind of gospel literature. And it had a lighthouse picture on that book. It's called "A Lamp Unto My Feet." You've seen them, and it had the lighthouse. I said, "Well, you might never want nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus." I said, "But man, just rip this page off. Stick it up on your wall or lay it over somehow." I said, "And sit in a cell and just look at that lighthouse and start dreaming." I said, "Dream about the seagulls flying by." I said, "Listen to the waves just a-roaring." I said, "Watch that light just beam across the ocean of the night." I said, "Let your mind just get on something good." He said, "Give me that book." He took it. And before long, I mentioned this book. Before I was done, he had every book in my tray. Amen. I don't know if he ever got saved or anything. Amen. What's that got to do with the message? I don't know. Oh, yes. They might not want to listen. Amen. Hey, but if you'll just keep going down the walk, you'll keep going down the road, you'll keep going where God has you going, every once in a while, some old sinner will stop and give an ear. Amen. Hey, we need to realize the ministers. Behold the ministers that God's using these ministers to administer, administer His judgment. Amen. And if it says it pleased him. It pleased his anger in the north country. Talking about that region of Babylon. I still believe Babylon's Babylon. Amen. If you take the Bible literally. But quickly this morning, I hear a couple stomachs in the back that are just moving around, you know. But as I thought about, we need to look diligently. We need to behold the mountains and realize that you better get ready while you got a chance to get right with God. Amen.
Right.
You know, there's some people that the world through wisdom knew not God.
Yeah.
You can know all the wisdom in this world and split hell wide open. Amen.
Yeah.
Huh? Wisdom ain't going to profit in that day. Strength ain't going to profit in that day. Money ain't going to profit. What shall profit a man if he gain the whole world? Lose his own soul. Amen. And I thank the Lord, my boy, he's studying, you know, first year of college and studying pre-med, got straight A's, and trust me, you can tell he took after mom and not me. Amen. Huh? I'm like the preacher, reading. I didn't read writing too good. Amen. You know, but I told my son, I said, but son, if anything, I'd love you to have a good career, good job, but if you just got to be a whopper flopper and stay in love with Jesus, you'd be a whopper flopper for Jesus. And ain't nothing wrong with that. Amen. But I'm just saying, if this world and the things of this world get you away from God, I junk it all. Amen. Matter of fact, even Jesus said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it. If there's anything keeping you from God, amen. And as I look here, behold the mountains, behold the minister. But quickly, before we go and eat, amen. And more important than eating, we need to behold the man. That word behold means to look. And it says in verse 12, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts is his battle terminology, amen. Because God is God of war too, amen. And he says, saying, behold the man.
Yes.
If you want to be on the right side of the winning battle, you better behold the man. Amen. The battle's coming. The battle's already here. Amen. We talk about, you've heard it said, that you know normal ain't coming back, but Jesus is. Amen. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I'm not gloom and doom. I'm just going to keep rejoicing. Amen. You say, well, the gas is going to $20. It may go to $100. I don't know. It may get back where I got to ride down here on horseback. Amen. Praise God. I don't know what'll happen. Amen. Man, praise God. I might have some horse and buggy stalls up at the prison like they do up in Amish country at the Walmart. Amen. But you better realize, behold the man. Who is this man? He said, whose name is the branch. And I got to looking as I beheld the man. It talks about in Isaiah 11:1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch, shall grow out of his roots. Who is this branch out of Jesse's lineage? Jesse was just a peasant.
Yeah.
Why did Jesus come through the line of Jesse, old peasant? Because the Bible says, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. That you through his poverty might be made rich.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. God knew in his plan how to redeem man. And Jesus coming poor in poverty, but he's coming back in power. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm saying we need to behold this man. Jeremiah 23:5, it says, behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper.
Yeah.
Jeremiah 33:15. In those days and at that time I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Jesus, he's the judge. Amen.
Yeah.
Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I'm telling you, he'll do right by you today. Amen. And I tell you, we need to do right by Him and look to Him and listen to Him and draw nigh to Him. He said, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. You realize every one of us today, we're as close to the Lord as we want to be. Amen. I remember, man, when COVID first hit, I tell you, we had, like a lot of places, we had the online service. I didn't like that one bit. I didn't like it, amen. Well, I turned the TV on one morning. We had the online service. Did y'all? And I had my pajama pants, T-shirt, an egg roll, and a cup of coffee. And I said, this ain't church. This ain't church. And then we went to the parking lot, you know, and they said, you know, if you want to go talk to folks or stay in your car and somewhere, you know, and we just didn't know, you know, and preachers didn't know, amen. And the devil, he's the author of confusion, so I think he got everybody all mixed up, amen. Huh?
But anyways, after about a month, finally our preacher and Brother Randy, our pastor now, he said, "We're just going back inside. If you don't want, you ain't comfortable, we understand." And I ain't undermining. I realize sickness and battle, we've all been through it, amen. But when we got back inside, I tell you, there wasn't nothing like being around the brethren, amen. I tell you, we our church, they've been testifying about every service, a spirit of revival. I mean, we've just been amazing what God has done, amen. We need the house of God. We need to just behold and draw nigh to the Lord, the Master. Amen. He's the righteous branch. All of our righteousness is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But God forbid that I should glory saving the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom I'm crucified in the world and the world unto me. Amen. I'm saying, as we behold this righteous branch, Matthew talks about Him. Amen. Matthew shows that He is the kingly branch. He said, "Lo, a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" If you was to look in Mark, Mark shows that He is the servant branch. Not only is He the kingly branch, but He's the servant branch. It talks about in Isaiah 42:1, "Behold, My servant." Look at Him. Look at the servant, the Lord Jesus, this morning as we behold Him. Amen. You think about this. Even the millennium, He's going to gird Himself. The Bible says He's going to serve us. He taught His disciples that one day as an example, not a church ordinance, but example to wash each other's feet. He was just showing them servitude. Amen. Our Lord was a servant to do the Father's will. Amen. How much more should we be eager to serve our Heavenly Father? Amen. As Jesus gave us the greatest example, as we behold Him in servitude. Amen. Pray for those which persecute you. Amen. Do well to those that speak all manner of evil against you. Father, on and on, He taught us how to serve the Lord and the Father. Amen. He is the servant branch. He's the kingly branch. Not only that, He's the man branch. 100% man and 100% God. Yes. Over in Luke 9:44, He said, "Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men." Luke 9:56, "For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." Yes. That's why we need to look to Jesus, because He is our Savior. Amen. I tell you, oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior, the songwriter said. Amen. And I believe that "oh" was with an exclamation. Amen. Because what a Savior. Behold Him this morning. Behold the man. If you behold Jesus and you trust and repent, put your faith in Him, I tell you what, you won't have to behold the judgment come upon this world. Amen. You won't have to go through all them terrible things in the book of Revelation. You'll have the best part of getting snatched out of here right there, chapter 4, and coming back in 19. Amen. You talk about a horse. Amen. Hey, you have your big old white stallion, praise God, part of the saddle club. I only rode a horse twice in my life, and I was walking like this both times over. Amen. But that day I'll do just fine. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm just saying, this morning on my way to heaven, you better behold the man. Amen. He's a servant. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the righteous branch. He's our righteousness. Amen. As a man, 100% man, Adam failed to do the Father's will. But Jesus never failed the Father in one point. Amen. For He is God. He's the God-man. He's the righteous man. He's our Lord this morning. Now that quickly this morning, amen, got another belly drum. But as I look, He's the God-man. Amen. John told us that. Jesus said, "When you've seen Me, you've seen the Father." He talks about it in John 10:33. "The Jews answered Him saying, 'For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou, being a man, makest thyself God.'" Oh, He is God. Amen. John 20:28, "And Thomas answered and said to Him, 'My Lord and my God.'" Amen. Thomas said, "You're God." Over in Acts 20:28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God." Amen. Hebrews 1:8, "But unto the Son He saith, 'Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever a scepter, righteous scepter, thy kingdom.'" Titus 2:13, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Now stick with me quick and get this, amen. I know in the text it was showing how God had sent and judged there in Babylon. And if you look at the picture, what happened down in verses 9, notice what it said. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Take of them of the captivity those who were up there in Babylon." Think about this. After God sent judgment, God got His people out of there. Amen?
Yeah.
Hey, think about this. God's going to deliver a third of them through the fire of judgment coming out of Revelation. And they're going to come out of that captivity. And you know what? What's going to take place? As you look here, we see a picture of Joshua after Babylon. And Joshua's being crowned the prince king. Amen?
Yeah.
But that's a picture of one day after all the dust is settled. Jesus, He's going to be crowned king of kings and Lord of lords. Notice what these names said in verse 10. Take of them of the captivity of Hildiah. Hildiah means the world. The name Tobiah means Jehovah is good. The name Jedidiah means Jehovah knows. You put them all together and you know what it's saying? The world shall know that Jehovah God is good. Amen. Hey, this world don't want nothing to do with Jesus. Hey, this world's trying to clamp down everything about the church and about spreading the gospel. Hey, but you know what? I believe God can... Hey, you go back in the book of Acts. The more the persecution came, the more the Word of God went forth. Amen. Hey, we just need to get out of our comfort zone. I thought about... I would have never reached those homeless during those days. But I said, God, I just got to do something. If I can't get behind the fences, tell me who to chase outside the fence. Amen. I tell you, there's souls out there. There's people that need the Lord. And one day, the world's going to know that Jehovah God is good. And as you look at this real quick, there's going to become a crowning ceremony. I won't dig into all that. You go study it. But it talks about in verse 13, the Council of Peace. This world ain't going to find peace down here. Amen? Not till the Prince of Peace comes. They're crying peace, peace. There'll be no peace. But when He comes, He's going to bring the peace because He is the peace. That's why we can have peace. Amen? Because He's in us. We don't got to wait till He comes because He already came the day you got saved. Amen? You guys said, "My peace I give unto you." That's why this world ain't got no peace. Amen? They go day and night, Alka Seltzer and Alka Seltzer. Amen? A heartache, a heartache. But I'm telling you, when you got the Lord, you got some peace in your heart. My priest said, "You got any joy?" I ain't got no joy, but He's got joy. Amen. As look at this real quick. I got to studying some of them men right there. Hildiah, think about this, the crowning ceremony. One day we're going to be there to crown the Lord, the royal diadem, amen? And I got to looking, and Hildiah, he was a tax collector, collecting tithes and different things over in 1 Chronicles 27. I got to looking at Tobiah. Tobiah, he helped to teach the Word of God in 2 Chronicles 17. Jedidiah, he helped to serve under the priesthood. Think about all these. Here's three men, they're coming out of captivity. But they all did different things. But they're all there to crown Him.
Amen.
I'm a missionary going to prison. You're pastoring in the church. Amen. Folks, deacons, people clean the church. Sometimes those never even heard of. Teaching a little son. All these things. But you know what? It ain't matter our position. It all matters about Him. And here they all come. A tax collector, a teacher, working, helping the priest what he could. But we're all just gathered in because it's all about Him. Amen. Behold Him today. Look at Him today. He is a worthy Savior. Amen. As I got to look in verse 14, it mentions them again. It says, "And the crowns shall be to Helim and to Tobiah and to Jedidiah and to Hen." He said, "Well, Hen wasn't up there in verse 10. I think it was Wearsby said Hen wasn't in verse 10 because he chickened out. But one writer said this Hen is the same name as Josiah, just different. I don't know. But I do know I looked up Hen, and Hen means the gracious one. Hen means the gracious one. You know, God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace unto the humble."
Yeah.
And it talks about in verse 15, it says, "And they that are far off shall come and build the temple in the temple of the Lord." There'll be a fourth temple after all of us settle. After the end of the tribulation, the Lord comes back and He'll have His own temple. Amen. Where they'll come to worship. And they will offer sacrifice. I've heard people and writers say, "Well, that's blasphemy and that does away with Calvary." Those sacrifices aren't to atone for sin. That's just like even in the Old Testament. They weren't to atone for sin. Amen. There was one that made atonement for our sin, the Lord Jesus on the cross. But even that day, they'll be doing it to teach the generations Never forget Calvary. In the Old Testament, they were looking forward by faith. We look back by faith. It all revolves around Calvary. Behold the man. Amen. You know, and I say this, a lot of times we're living day and hour, you can get so caught up in beholding man Russia and beholding you, beholding the things in the United States. Behold, man, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. Amen. And man, I got prophecy books a mile high. Oh, it's going to happen. When? I don't know. Amen. But I ain't going to get too hung up right there. I want to minister. I want to reach a sinner. Amen. And I want to keep beholding the Lord, because He's the one that's worthy. How is He to you today? Are you really beholding Him? Are you looking diligently? Maybe you need to come today and draw nigh to the Lord. He loves you today. He's like Him. He is the gracious one. He is the great. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Amen. I'm going to pray and turn it back over to you, preacher. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the church. Thank you for the people of God. Lord, I just want to thank you for Calvary. Thank you for your precious blood. Lord, I know the half's never been told. There's so much in the Scriptures, the Word of God. But Lord, if a man misses the simplicity that's in the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, even a little child can understand that your love is so great. Your wrath is true. Lord, judgment had to take place because we're sinful creatures, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one, but you're that righteous branch. You're the righteous one. Lord, you died the just for the unjust, that you might bring us to God. Maybe somebody today, Lord, you take the gospel seed, prick them in the heart, Holy Ghost, deal with them, Lord, and help them to come to know you before it's too late. That one day they could look upon you instead of look out into the regions of the damned and burn the devil's hell through all eternity. Lord, may they see you for who you are, a wonderful, wonderful Savior. Lord, help us today, we pray. Bless your people. Help us to be a better witness, Lord. I've not yet obtained. I've not yet arrived. Lord, help me to be a better witness. Give us grace in this day and hour to do what we ought to do till you come. In Jesus' name. Thank you, preacher. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, brother. What a blessing.
Indeed.
Yeah, I like a fellow gets excited about what he's dealing with. Amen. A fellow doesn't get excited, it makes you wonder if he really believes what he's saying. Amen. I'm old, I'm wore out. It's hard for me to get excited, get emotional. Hallelujah. Inside you can just jump for joy. Amen. Amen. Brother Tim, appreciate that word. Hallelujah. Behold the man. Father brought Jesus forth to the people. That's what he said. Behold the man. How they didn't behold the man because all they could see was their hatred. Their rejection. Amen. As he hung on the cross, the Bible says, and they sat down there, sitting there, they watched him. Amen. Here's what I found out in life. Brother Rick, if you and Hayward come, if you get somebody curious about Jesus, the man he's talking about, then you've got them on the road to where they need to be. Amen. I used to tell that in prison. My job here is to get you curious about Jesus, because if I can get you curious, you'll be like Nicodemus. You'll pursue it. He came to see Jesus by night. Amen. Why? Because he knew that a man could not do the things he did except God was with him. God had sent him. Amen. And so my job was to get him curious. Before I got saved, I told the story many times. I came in, been out on the boat on the river all day, and I lay down on the floor, exhausted, turned the TV on, weren't in one channel, Billy Graham was on. Too lazy to get up, turn it back off, so I just listened. And he began to talk about giving you a book if you just write it. The name of it was Reentry. It's in the library now, it's in family. And it's on the second coming of Jesus. Brother Tim, I knew that he had come, but nobody had ever told me in my whole life, I was in my early 20s then, that he was coming back. You know what that did? It got me curious.
Amen.
The very next day, I was at the bookstore looking for that book, Reentry. I didn't find it, but I found another one. to help satisfy my curiosity. Amen. Amen. Now, you see, it's hard for anybody to believe that we believe what we say we believe if we're not excited about it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
I got saved 50 years ago, and boy, I was excited. I didn't intend to go to church. Didn't go to church. I knew I was saved. I was out fishing on the Wolf River with two men telling them about Jesus. I wasn't going to church, but I was ready to talk about Jesus. I knew I was saved. I knew what He'd done for me, but that was all I knew. That was all I knew. Amen. But I was excited. Of course, it didn't take long for God to get me in the church. Amen. I'm still excited. Now, between then and now, I've seen a lot, experienced a lot, to discourage me. And see, that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to discourage. He wants to quench your spirit. Amen. To take away the excitement that you first had when you got saved. Amen. You know what we need to do? What the brother just said. We need to take another look at Jesus. Behold Him. I'll tell you, if you quit staring at this world, why do you think the television has 200 channels now? I know most of them are selling you grits and different things, but why? Why so many channels? God do Satan do anything to keep you from looking at Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. This morning, Satan can get you thinking about food, thinking about what you're going to do this afternoon, about what you've got coming this week. Anything to get your mind off of Jesus. But I tell you what, I love y'all. I look forward to seeing your faces in the house of God. Boy, I want to see Him. Amen. And I thank God for preachers that can paint your portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ and who He was. Hallelujah. He was a king, but He was a servant. He was a man, but He was God. Hallelujah. That mystery will never be satisfied in our souls until we see Him. John said, I don't know what we're going to be like. He said, I'll tell you this. When we see Him, we'll be like Him. Amen. What brother number, brother?